So, Jeremy, fearless leader, still feeling good about that front seven? That's our answer right there. Welcome to the Pride of Detroit PODcast, prideofdetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter. Pride of Detroit spells out POD. What's the first three letters of podcast? POD. That's right, PODcast. That's Jeremy Reisman farting there in the background. His display name on our conference call right now is Fart. So you can be sure he is genuine about that. I am Chris Perfett, the adequate host at Chris Perfett, P-E-R-F-E-T-T. And I did not get to watch a lot of this game. I caught little bits of clips, which is probably best on how to really enjoy this. And finally, Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan underscore P-O-D. Ryan, do you have anything to add to Jeremy's very insightful opening?
I purchased a bottle of Traverse City Cherry Whiskey for $29.99 from my local liquor store, and it's helping.
Okay. That's how we feel. Good podcast, everyone. See you next time. Okay. As I said, did not get to see much of the game, so I'm going to go to the two who had eyes on this. Baltimore Ravens 44, Detroit Lions 20. And it got close a couple times from what I remember seeing. And then it just completely, just everything vanished. And probably vanishing with it is the playoffs. Am I right? This is it, right? It would take a colossal miracle for the Lions to make the playoffs at this point.
I mean, if we actually want to have this conversation, could very well get this team into the playoffs, but you'd be hard pressed to find any Lions fans right now that think this team is 10-6 right now.
Well, I mean, this game to me is game over. Like, just not only do the Lions play awful and do not look like a team who could really play anyone who's a top team right now, but I mean, at 6-6. And the Panthers are 8-4. The Falcons are 7-5. Seahawks 7-4. We're kind of recording this on Sunday nights. We'll see what happens with the Seahawks here. But I don't see any reason to think. We talked about it last podcast. Down the stretch, Lions, we have to go X number of games. And even then, that might be enough, not enough. And I told you to keep watching out for the Ravens. And boy, did the Ravens hit them.
This was the Lions' week. This was their week to finally get back into the race after a pretty lackluster month and a half. Falcons lost. Panthers lost. Who knows what happens to the Seahawks tonight, but, you know, they got the Eagles, so there's a chance they lose too. And, I mean, I don't think anyone that was paying attention overlooked this game. I picked the Ravens in this game. The result didn't completely surprise me, but what did surprise me was just how awful this was. This was the worst performance of the year. Like, this was the Saints game minus the good parts. This was a disaster from every point of view, from every portion of the game. There wasn't a silver lining to this game at all, really, in my opinion. It was a disaster. Unmitigated disaster.
It was all bad. Nothing good to take away from this game at all whatsoever. I'm just sitting here playing around with the playoff machine because I'm a hopeless, sad person. But essentially, the Lions need the Panthers to go 2-2, and they need the Falcons to go 2-2, and they need the Panthers to go 1-3, and they need the Seahawks to kind of fall apart down the stretch here. There's just way too much stuff that's not even in the Lions' control. And then the one week where they do get something that, you know, they do get a lot of help and they do get a lot of luck from the other teams in the NFC, the Lions can't even help themselves. So, like Jeremy said, you'll be hard-pressed to find anybody who thinks that this team has a shot at making the playoffs. 9-7 absolutely does not get them in the playoffs. I mean, like, it's the slimmest chance. It's like an Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary. No, it's not that, because that might actually end up happening. But, like, Yeah, I mean, like, you need to go 10-6. That means the Lions have to win out. Matthew Stafford, once again, with a hand injury for the last four games of the season. It's dire straits.
And just in general, too, just I'm looking at this box score and just, God, I don't just know if I've seen a team play as sloppy as they did. And not having Abdullah probably hurt in the ground game. We're not going to talk about the ground game again, but I know some people are. Well, let's save it, because I think talking about, because I feel like I've got a rage corner just from Twitter, not from even seeing this game, about Teon Green, but we'll get to that later. But just in general, like, I mean, it was a little unfair for me to open the show by razzing Jeremy about hit last week, seeing promise in the front seven. But really, I mean, I don't know. You watch this game. Let's start there. What did you think about the front seven? And I'll just tell you why I'm going to continue to razz you.
Go ahead. I mean, I didn't say that they were going to perform great the rest of the way. I just said they were much improved against the Vikings, which is true, but it all disappeared this game. I'm working on my report card right now, and I'll tell you right now, spoilers, F for the defensive line, F for the linebackers. It was awful. Jared Davis is having one of the worst rookie years I've seen from a first-round draft pick. And that,
which is,
I'm
something
not calling
we would
him
not
a bust.
That's not something we would have said at the beginning of the year, too. After those first three games from Jared Davis, all of a sudden we're now saying awful rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, he was the third worst rated linebacker up until last week against the Vikings, where he actually put up a pretty good, I think somewhere in the 85 grade with PFF. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the 30s for this game. It was god awful from him and all the linebackers. I can't express how disappointed I am in his play right now. And it's everything. It's run defense. He's taking really, really bad angles. He's not wrapping up. The one thing that I think Jared Davis had the biggest strength of when I was watching his film out of college, he seemed like a pretty reliable tackler. Not so much this year. And maybe it's just adjusting to the level of play. Maybe I misscouted him, but tackling is awful. And then can we talk about play action? Because I don't know if the Lions have ever seen play action in practice the way they're playing right now. They bite so hard on everything. And I realize you're playing some pretty bad pass offenses in the league recently. You know, you're playing the Browns, you're playing the Bears, you're playing the Ravens, who aren't supposed to be good passing teams. But when you sell out so hard every single week on the running game, on a play action pass, these guys are going to see it on tape and they're going to burn the shit out of you. And they did again. And I don't know how much longer I can stand to see these fucking goal line plays where there's just a guy, no one within 10 yards of him, because all 11 defenders are in the backfield selling out on the run. It's unbelievable. And I mean, you got to start looking at Terrell Austin for this. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. There's nothing else I can say. This was just embarrassing.
You know what? Terrell Austin would still have been a better hire for Arizona State than Herm Edwards. But I mean, I would have also been weighing that in the fact that I won't have to see him on the sideline after that. But just in general, too, and the reason why I bring it up, and you know what the good news is that you're not going to have to worry about the potential of this front seven, because it's going to have to be a completely different new front seven next season, because I don't think either of these edge rushers, either Ansa or Zettel, are good enough to really keep. I mean, maybe you give a contract to Zettel, I don't know. Either way, one or both of your edge rushers probably changing over. I don't know how many more years Haloti Ngata's got in him. And then I don't know where to start on the linebackers. I still think that at least is kind of a work in progress, and I'm not going to write off Jared Davis after 1 year, but my point is that hopefully the entire defense is going to look different next year. And maybe for me, hopefully that's going to include a different defensive coordinator. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, the Lions need to make a change. Like, well, I don't know. We talked about, Jeremy and I talked about this in the post game Facebook Live, but, and I made the analogy of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, with that analogy being Jim Caldwell being the baby and the rest of the coordinators and the coaching staff being the bathwater. I don't know. I mean, like, there's been nobody who's been more in Jim Caldwell's camp than I think us. Like, these
yeah, the
three
entire
guys
site,
that are on the podcast.
Site,
yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I think the entire site for the most part. And But I mean, I was just so sure that, you know, Caldwell is the right guy for this team just because of his personality and the way that the players respond to him. Last week when they had the 10 players on the field for the Kyle Rudolph touchdown, and he said that, you know, that's something that, you know, he has to fix. And then this week they have 9 players on the field on a third down play, a crucial third down play. I mentioned that in the What Just Happened article in the analysis that I wrote, and somebody, I'm sorry, but I have to put them on blast right now, but like, logical fallacy said, come on, you think Caldwell, a lifelong offensive coordinator, has any say over what defensive players are being subbed in and out? Lay the blame where it's deserved, Terrell Austin. Yep, Terrell Austin deserves blame, and guess who else does too? Jim Caldwell, because he's the head football coach of the Detroit Lions. And he said last week in a press conference that this is something that he needs to fix, okay? So if you have a supervisor and then somebody underneath him that keeps on making mistakes, it's not just the person underneath him that gets all the blame. It should be the guy at the top too, who already knows the problems that are happening. And like, getting 11 guys on the football field is not, it should not be an issue. That should be a non-issue.
Yeah.
He's the one calling timeouts, right? You don't see Terrell Austin calling timeouts. And that play is just completely maddening. The Lions are finally getting themselves back into this game after another slow start, which is another issue I would put on coaching. And they're, you know, they become victims of this maybe bad call. I don't remember really what it was, but I think what happened on that play was the coaches got caught up in trying to figure out whether they wanted to challenge this play or not, and completely lost focus of the play ahead of them. And I said this in the Facebook Live, but if you're that concerned about, should I challenge or not, and you're facing a third down coming up and you're not preparing for it, throw the flag. Just throw it and stop the clock. Make sure, I mean, the worst thing that can happen when you throw that flag is you get it wrong and it costs you a timeout, because you needed to call a timeout anyway. So this way, maybe you get the benefit of a challenge too. And that's on Jim Caldwell.
Yeah,
Terrell Austin messed up, sure, but that's on Jim Caldwell, and I don't know how anyone can defend Jim Caldwell after this specific game. I'm not saying his whole career is done in Detroit because of this game, but this was a brutal game with coaching, brutal game, and now it's starting to become a trend. So yeah, I think you do start thinking about changing Caldwell. I don't think you overreact and fire him on Monday, but it definitely needs to be in Bob Quinn's mind right now, and highly dependent on how this team finishes. I know people are going to say the worst thing this team can do is finish 3-1, miss the playoffs, and retain the call. But I just need to see some sort of improvement for any sort of hope for 2018. Because honestly, I would love to avoid a coaching change as much as possible. I don't want to start. I don't want to hit the reset button.
It's bad. It's bad for the whole organization. And I know, again, we talk about why Stafford signed the contract, because continuity, and you've been under X number of coordinators, or just in general, like, as soon as you blow something up, you set a team back so damn far. And I mean, the worst part for me is just looking, and I know what's going to happen. The people who have been against Caldwell from the get go are going to use this as like the reason why they were right all along. And I don't know. I don't think up until these last couple of games, it's really been this bad. It's just, for whatever reason, it's been blowing up, and it's a downward trend. But I don't think you fire Caldwell, but you just, someone's got to change somewhere else. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what you do with the staff. I really don't.
I think Caldwell getting fired is totally in play.
And you just signed an extension.
But that, what is that extension? That extension means nothing. You watch a lot of college football, Chris. What do big deals in college football matter?
Well, I mean, a lot of that's because the coach walks away and to take another job.
No, but, I mean, not necessarily. Yeah. I mean, you get coaches who are fired. I mean,
Kirk Ferentz is the deal from hell, and he's still at Iowa.
Charlie Weiss.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't like that extension means next to nothing. That extension was like a sign of good faith at the beginning of the season. That was like, hey, you know what? And that was announced after the Lions got off to a good start, too.
And I hate to jump this ship completely, But since we're already on it, like, and this is kind of something I noticed, you know, you brought up the coaching carousel for college, Ryan. Who do you replace Caldwell with? Because it's clearly not anyone from within the staff.
No, it's not. And I mean, you'll have, I mean, at this point of the season, though, can you even really put together like a coaching candidate, like, you know, short list? I don't know, maybe, but
without seeing people fired. And that's what you're going to get, leftovers from other teams.
Well, you're either going to get leftovers for other teams or you're going to get a coordinator from another team. And I don't know, maybe it's going to be the same names that a lot of people have been floating out for a long time. But nice. And trust me, it's not, I'm not saying that the Lions need to make a change just for the sake of them making a change. Like that's not at all what I'm saying. I'm saying today was so frustrating to the point where it was like, no, this is like, we're at a breaking point right now. And
no, I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah. So these next four games are completely going to decide whether or not it's okay, we do need to go in another direction, or you know what, the Lions just caught some bad luck and we have to fix some other things. Like I think that no matter what, the Lions need a new offensive line coach. Like Ron Prince is not like, see ya later.
Bye.
Like nice knowing you.
I absolutely agree. And I actually mentioned that exact thing in my report card. The one thing I do want to say though, is because I know if I were to put out a poll right now, how many people want the coaching staff fired, it would be somewhere around 80-85%. And I understand that. I'm almost with you. One thing you have to realize is this team is not due for a Sean McVay like turnaround next year. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not.
That team had a foundation. That team had an identity. A really good defensive line, really a really good defense already, and an offense just waiting to break out.
What's not going to happen?
This Lions team is much further away. I know that sounds weird to say for a Rams team that finished what, like 6-10 last year or whatever. This Lions team is not that close. This Lions team is not one good head coach away from just turning everything around. It's not.
No, because you look at that Rams team, even under Jeff Fisher, and you saw all that talent there. What? Okay, take Stafford out of the equation, and where are the concentrations of talent? We can really only talk about it right now in basically a cornerback, a safety, and about two of the receivers. That's the talent there. Maybe if you want to throw in Abdullah, go ahead.
Yeah, don't throw in Abdullah, but yeah,
I throw in like half the offensive line, but I mean, I know Taylor Decker's coming back from injury, but like with all that's been pumped into this offensive line, where's the payoff?
Here's what I think, Jeremy, this is the point that I think that this is what you can see from those teams that made big turnarounds. Like look at the Philadelphia Eagles. What do they do well? They can run the football very efficiently. Like, and they had a rookie quarterback who took the next step this year. Like the Eagles are running, they're running the ball at like 4.6 yards per clip. Look at the Rams. I mean, the Rams have one of the most explosive offenses, but what did they already have in place? They had Todd Gurley. Okay. They're back to running the ball, you know, 4.1 yards per carry. Like, and they both had defenses that were like on the brink of something special. So like, those kind of turnarounds, like not in the Lions cards, because the Lions don't have that pass rush just kind of waiting. Like, you know, the Eagles had Fletcher Cox, the Rams had Aaron Donald. Who's the defensive lineman on this team right now that's as an impactful player as either of those guys?
Nobody.
So it's not like you can't just go into the draft and add one guy and all of a sudden that's going to change everything. So the Lions are kind of just stuck in this point of mediocrity right now. And I don't know I'm not totally on the fire Caldwell thing, but like, it's something that you have to at least entertain the thought of here down the stretch, depending on how the Lions do, because maybe he's the guy who takes them to the next coach.
We'll see. Let's take a break here. When we come back, do you want to just do Rage Corner early? Cause I've got one. It's a very short one, and I want you guys to kind of feed off my rage. So we'll see what we can do with this. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
yelling.
Can you take a break?
I'm yelling at you.
Can you take a break?
Yelling.
Can I get my d*** sucked?
Can you hear me? Yelling.
Can I get my d*** sucked?
Yelling, yelling.
Are you ready to suck now? Have you got it all out? Mad, ain't you?
Stupid.
Red face.
Listen.
Now you're calling me stupid.
Listen. Yes, I am.
This is kangaroo court.
You know what? You have a constitutional right to be a dumbass.
That's the Rage Corner music. Started it early. It's kind of weird to do a Rage Corner when everything we're going to be doing is rage and rot. But I've got a specific thing, and it's to stomp y'all's hope. Once again, full disclosure, did not really get to see much of this game, aside from some highlights and some play-by-play scoring summaries and everything else. Here's my rage, though. And consider it good advice. Consider it really necessary advice. And again, I can only do this for a very short time, so maybe Ryan or Jeremy, one of you, can pick up the torch once I've taken it to the finish line. Teon Green isn't going to save you. I'm done. That's it, pretty much. If someone else wants to jump in, but I stand by that entirely. Teon Green ain't gonna save y'all. Finally got to see him today, folks. You finally got to see him. I know he had a touchdown. I know he had a 33-yard run. Guess what? He's not your future. Getting tired all right, of watching all the tweets. Just assuming that. But go ahead, Jeremy.
Let me start with a mea culpa, because I've been on the don't even bother putting him on the field bandwagon. I was probably wrong. It was nice to see him come out there. It was nice to see him get a 33-yard gain on his very first NFL touch. Pretty cool. Ran pretty well. I mean, on his two big carries, he wasn't really touched until he was 6 or 7 yards downfield in both instances. But credit where credit's due. He made the plays, he had reads. He ran down where he was supposed to run. But you're absolutely right. Let's not overreact to what, 5 carries? Oh, no, he had 11 carries. 11 carries, 51 yards. So in the other 9 carries, he had what?
Shit,
17
man.
Yards?
We gave Zach Zenner more. We waited longer on Zach Zenner before that hype train began with him. Granted, that was the preseason for him. But still, this is what happens when you just really don't have any future in a run game right now. You just start, if you're a fan, you start looking for anything and everything and just assume that the next guy up is just going to fix everything for you. And again, I'm shocked when I first looked up Teon Green and did not see he went to the University of Michigan, just judging on how hard some of y'all are caping for him. And I don't get it. I really don't. Why invest so much in this? Because what was the narrative before? It was, well, just put him on the field, see what he can do. Well, we saw what he could do. He had one good run in him. Cool.
Here's a fun little pattern to follow. Okay, so last year the Lions didn't have a running game. Let's wait till Ameer Abdullah becomes the starting running back. Then we're going to be golden. Ameer Abdullah becomes the starting running back. Suddenly he's not so good. But the backup, Theo Riddick, ooh, he's running it pretty well. He's averaging over 4 yards a carry since the bye week. Ameer Abdullah goes down. Theo Riddick becomes the starter. Uh-oh, Theo Riddick runs for 9 rushes and 21 yards. Under 3 yards a carry. But hey, here's backup Teon Green. He seems to be running the ball pretty good. Guess what happens when the Lions make Teon Green the starter? Guess. Guess what's going to happen?
Fart.
Big old juicy fart.
I'm not going to sit around here and say, oh, well, the NFL defense is going to get tape on him, because I think that's just fucking bogus. But what is happening, and I don't know what it is just, it happens with these guys. You will always go back to the average of the mean or whatever the hell mathematical phrase you want to call it, because not everyone's going to have 33-yard runs, like, just ready to pop off at any point. And Teon Green we're going to talk about this later. I don't know what you do at running back if you're the Lions. You have so many other needs right now, but this team is so goddamn hamstrung without a fucking running back.
Without a running game.
Without a running game. Yeah, let's just say that there. But I mean, just in it, you know what I mean when I say that. Like, there is just no one to do it, and there's so many other holes that need to be plugged for the Lions. But until, like, even it's shown that even as they're trying to plug that hole, the running game going downhill is just becoming a bigger and bigger fucking liability. Using strong language.
Yeah, I mean, are we at the point right now where we think the Lions need to draft a running back like in the first couple rounds, or I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to get into this. Like, I don't like the Lions. Like, there's still four games left. Yeah. There's nothing that's going to happen this season to fix this running game. Like, the running game cannot be fixed until the offseason, and there's four more weeks until the offseason. So is there any reason to play three-dimensional chess to figure out how to fix the Lions run game in 6 months?
No, and I guess the reason I'm speaking like this is because, as I said at the ending, this does feel like the season's over with this one. I hate to move to the offseason already when there's four games to play, but I don't know. Like, I keep talking about how this team has promise and has potential, and people think that Stafford will, you know, take this team to the next dimension. But there are just so many holes that need to be plugged, and I'm just sitting here watching each week as those holes just spring new leaks. So, I mean, they're not going to get fixed in season. You're absolutely right. But just what's the answer?
I think it's a whole new system. I mean, we've been playing this game so long, just shuffling the parts. It's not like the Lions have completely ignored this need for a running back, this need for interior line, this need for exterior line. They're going out, they're spending money, they're spending draft picks, and throwing all the parts together, and no matter who they put back there, it's not working. And I understand getting excited for Tyon Green. Lord knows we need something to be excited about right now. But if history's any lesson, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's in the backfield.
It doesn't. I sorry. I know you're going to hate me for saying the wrestling thing here, but I just heard that in The Rock's voice.
That's exactly how I tried to say it.
Yes, and that's exactly how you should process that, is Dwayne Johnson yelling in your face, it doesn't matter who's in the Lions' backfield. Because it's true.
It's funny, because I feel like if anybody should have heard it like that, it should have been me, but I heard Bill Murray.
I was literally trying to do a Rock impression. But yeah, that's my feeling. It's just like, we tried it. I mean, Kentley Platt has proven it time and time again statistically. Jim Caldwell does not have a run offense ever in his career. It follows him around like a fucking stink bug. For whatever reason, a Jim Caldwell-led offense just does not include a running game. And if there's a reason to fire Jim Caldwell, I think maybe that's it. Because he's had, what, 3-4 years now?
Yeah.
No upward trajectory there at all. At all.
Yeah, hard to argue against that. So Chris's question was, like, how do we improve it going forward? I mean, like, not to get too much in the weeds, but, like, is it a free agent or is it a draft pick?
I and that's the worst part. I'm looking around and I don't know who's going to be the big free agent running backs that are just not going to be just also fans.
You got Le'Veon Bell. You got Mark Ingram, which I think would be an attractive name.
Mark Ingram I could see, because he's also got that receiving dimension to him. I mean, he's played with some bad offensive lines, too.
Yes, he's also played with a really good one this year in New Orleans, which has been bittersweet because Larry Warford has played super good, and he's played really well this year, too. So
I don't want to think about the cast off offensive linemen. I really don't, because I don't want to think about Larry Warford and Riley Reiff and, you know, on paper, how we've improved this offensive line. And yet it's just been a bunch of bad eggs. I don't know.
To answer your free agent or draft pick question, I'm 1000% in draft pick. In that zone, I just think running backs have such a short shelf life in general that if you're spending on someone who already has tread on the tires, you're doing a disservice to your team, and you're going to overpay for one because that's what you do in free agency. So, you know, I haven't looked into this draft class much, but one Alex Reno tells me that it's super deep at running back. Grab one in the fourth round. I'm happy. That's all I need.
I guess I'm here's the thing for me, though. It's just like throwing a young quarterback out there will stunt their growth if they're not ready for it. How can any running back grow into the NFL and learn how to use, like, you know, you learn an offense properly when it's behind this offensive line?
Yeah.
And this scheme.
I totally agree. I mean, okay, so I think we have all the working parts of, like, how to fix the Lions running game. Get rid of whatever scheme that they're doing right now. Maybe replace an offensive line coach. Not maybe, but definitely. And then go from there. Like, I mean, it's a scheme thing first, and then it's find somebody else maybe. Like, do you think there's any possibility that the Lions maybe change their scheme and then go into next season with Amir Abdullah being their starting running back? Like, what percentage do you put that at?
I don't even want to put a number on that.
I think Amir Abdullah is much more likely to be the starting running back than there is to be a new scheme right now. If that makes sense.
It does, I think. Yeah.
People still want to give Jim Bob Cooter a head coaching gig?
Never going to happen. He's way too young anyways.
No, I know that. Talk. I know that. But, like, I no one's going to talk about that anymore. Just in general, too. And I feel bad about this, too, because I always said at the beginning of the season, like, Caldwell's strength was putting together a staff. But it is clear that just whatever is going on here is a complete mismatch. And I don't know. Like, I just look at this team and I just have to shrug because I really don't see. For some other teams, you see it's like, okay, we need this and we need this. And then we start, you know, digging ourselves out. I don't know the one place where the Lions have to concentrate on and they'll get better, because we want to talk about taking that running back in that draft. You're giving up a lot of stuff you need for the defense to get better, because you're going to at least probably turn over a defensive tackle here very soon. I mentioned Haloti Ngata, and depending what happens with Ezekiel Ansah, might need to start thinking about edge rusher too. The other one's not that great. Like, again, there's just so many holes on this team. I thought we were, like, moving away from saying there's a bunch of holes on this team. No, we're not.
We were, but now we're back here again.
Yep. That's fun.
Back on our bullshit.
Back on the bullshit. Do you guys want to take another break here and then regroup and figure out one more thing to talk about the Lions or anything else, really?
Yeah, I got some more stuff I want to talk about this game. Okay.
All right, cool. Cool. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and do this. The PODcast, it's the PODist. Where you're at, PODcast, we're back again. Jeremy, you had a couple more points about this game, which, again, this is hard for me as someone who did not get to see a lot of this game because I am busy trying to cram my finals, but I want to hear it. What do you got?
I guess I want to talk about how this team has changed since the beginning of the year, because one of the biggest things I took from the first half of the season was that this defense had made huge strides to suddenly win without Matthew Stafford hauling the ball up 40 times. You know, there was that game against the Giants specifically where they, you know, they stymied the Giants for almost all four quarters. Stafford threw for like 100 yards and the Lions won. Of course, looking back on that now, We see maybe why that happened, because the Giants were so bad. But this defense has completely fallen off a cliff. Completely. And you can blame the injury to Haloti Ngata. You can blame the nagging injuries to Ezekiel Ansah and losing Tavon Wilson and whatever you want to say. But this defense, to me, right now, is just as bad as it was last year. And it's the same problems. It's the lack of pass rush. It's the horrible linebacker play. And it's the over-reliance on the secondary to make plays. And guess what? They stopped making. We talked about last year how this team didn't force a turnover in the final five games. They've only had two interceptions since the bye week. They had nine before the bye week. They're not making plays anymore because guess what? Offenses are finding out they don't need to test this secondary all that often. They are completing, you know, some deep passes that they weren't at the beginning of the year. But the reason why they're doing that is because the Lions are going to have to bring everyone down. They need to bring in guys who can actually defend a tight end, defend a running back coming out of the backfield, defend a slot receiver. This defense is awful. This defense has completely fallen apart. And when you consider some of the offenses that this team has gone up against recently, the Browns, the Bears, the Ravens, if you were to look at this part of the schedule back in week two, back in week three, when the Lions were holding teams, you know, when they were picking off Drew Brees three times in a game, even though that game was a disgrace, when Glover Quinn was getting pick sixes, where has Glover Quinn been in the past five, six games? And this isn't on him. He's playing, you know, deep middle field. If they're not testing him, they're not testing him. It's not his fault. But you can just see how teams have adjusted to this defense and are completely exploiting it. The Bears can do it. If Joe Flacco can do it in the middle of his worst career season, if freaking Deshaun Kizer can do it, that you're being outcoached, right? You have to be.
Yeah.
You could blame, like, listen, the injury to Haloti Ngata was bad. It was not this bad. They are getting outcoached right now, and Terrell Austin absolutely needs to be under fire, probably more so than any coach right now. We all like to blame Jim Bob Cooter because he has a lot of talent and the Lions aren't putting up enough points. But this is one of the most talented secondaries in the league. This is a pass rusher, Ezekiel Ansah, who led the NFC in sacks 2 years ago. A young, talented linebacking core that are just not improving week by week. So to me, this defense is really kind of the undersold reason why this team is failing right now. And I know we like to get on the lines for their slow starts, and we should get on the lines for slow starts, but they at least pick it up at some point in the game. The defense is getting worked from first quarter to fourth quarter in these games. You know, when the Lions were making their comeback in this game, when they made it 13-20, they always seemed to stop for the rest of the time, and they gave up 24 points in the fourth quarter. Now, seven of that was the pick six. But 24 points in the fourth quarter, how are you going to mount a comeback when you're getting outscored 24-7 in the fourth quarter?
Okay, I'm going to have to give you a break there because I'm trying to like keep this stuff shorter and jaunty, and I want to get people's attention. You went on a lot there, and yeah, it's bad. It's bad, man. It's real bad. Ryan's getting a bowl of cereal, so this kind of comes to me to follow and try to figure up. And I hate to broach the question again because, we've got four games to go in this season. But I think the question is, and again, like I hate to play the thing. It's like, oh, it's only one game, but I think it's just as bad as this game one. But someone's getting, I mean, the theme that's been going through here is that someone seems to be getting fired.
Somebody, maybe everybody, but definitely somebody. This is like a weird thing about talking about sports, though. Like, just for a moment, like, imagine your job. And I mean, you making mistakes, and it's just weird to talk about people getting fired and losing their livelihoods and like having to like, I don't know. You don't think of all the things that go into it. Like, okay, like the Lions, maybe they fire Terrell Austin at the end of the year. Yeah. Terrell Austin will go get a job somewhere else, but it's like the dude has to like uproot everything. Like he won't live in Michigan anymore and he has to go like, so, I mean, like, I'm not trying to necessarily defend all that, but, like, just keep that in mind, like, when you're, like, saying, you know, when you're trying to, like, say that the Lions should, like, just clean house and fire everybody. And
I don't know, man. For me, trying to go...
People are human beings.
For me, trying to go into journalism school, the thing I've learned is if I really fuck up a story, I'm pretty much done, too. So I don't know. Like, I'm with you there, though, that this is kind of a heartless thing to really talk about sometimes. And this is one of the things we're getting frustrated here. We're saying it off air a lot, but I'm looking at this mailbag and I can absolutely see everyone else is frustrated too, because we're not getting a lot of good questions. And this is where I razz our audience again. And maybe I just need to get our audience off its butt and getting into our Twitter mentions to give us like questions that are funny and make us not think about this game. And we've got about five different questions saying, can you guys start like hashtag fire Caldwell trending or some stupid bullshit like that?
Nope.
Not going to do that for you.
This is probably the thing. Like, I don't ever want to like call for like someone's job. Like, I'll let what they're doing when I watch them on the television screen, I'll let that do the talking. And like, if that's bad, it just kind of just goes without saying. I'm never going to advocate for somebody's job with a hashtag. Get out of here.
Yeah, no, I think that's the theme, though, is that this game like shows that someone, I mean, sorry, it's been a long day for me already. And just thinking about this thing gives me a headache.
Here's the weird thing, though, you know, just, I mean, I hate the season perspective already when there's still a quarter of the season left. But look at all three of our expectations of this team in the preseason. They're right about where we expected them to be. Are they not?
I think I can't remember. You have all these things written down. What did I give this team? Did I say 8-8 or did I say 9-7?
I'm not sure. I could look, but I know I had 9-7. I know I said this team probably goes 9-7 and doesn't make the playoffs and doesn't fire Caldwell. And I think that's a very realistic look of what could happen after these next four games. And
is it just that we get so close to the playoffs that the taste is just maddening enough that people just, again, do what they do after the Bears game, where once again, I hate to keep riding it, but that comment sticks with me that there's no reason why the Lions can't run the table.
Right. Well, yeah, the answer to that is yes. We all get a little emotional and swept up, and we saw this team get off to a 3-3 start. And after they won at Minnesota, it suddenly looked like this team may have turned a corner. But to me, it's other stuff. Like, I know this roster isn't that talented. We just talked about how they're not one or two pieces away, but it's the method in which they're losing this game. It's having potential at one portion of their game and seeing it completely disappear, or seeing zero improvement in the running game, or like I just went on a rant about, seeing the defense get completely found out and have no response for it. And so they may be where I thought they were in terms of talent on the roster and record, but coaching, what I see out of their coaching is stagnation. They're not improving in any sort of way. They're not adjusting, and they're not a team to me that can overperform. The only way this team overperforms is if Stafford plays out of his goddamn mind, and if you're paying attention, he's doing it right now. He's playing out of his damn mind. Five games, I think he's averaging over 100 passer rating, and the Lions are what, 3-2 over that time? That's how bad everything else is right now.
Yeah. Ryan, anything else to add there?
Looking at our predictions from the beginning of the season, Chris had the Lions with an 8-8 record.
Mm-hmm.
I had them with 9-7, and Jeremy also had them with 9-7. So we're all kind of zeroing in on that wheelhouse of that kind of a record. So
I honestly feel better about 8-8 than I do 9-7. Like, just looking at the rest of the schedule, because I think we're going to get beat by the Bears.
Don't ever admit to that, even if you do believe in it.
Okay. We are wink, wink, not going to lose the Bears.
Just lost to the 49ers.
You're giving the fascist ammunition, Chris.
Jesus. I just...
Well, losing to Tampa Bay is totally in the... I mean, that's totally in the cards. I mean,
and another
game on the road against Jameis Winston's probably... Jameis Winston's a better quarterback than Joe Flacco. I know that much.
Yep. And bad as Andy Dalton is, you have him with AJ Green. And then someone we really don't want to see could be coming back for... for New Year's Eve. It could be worse than 8-8 is what I'm saying.
I tried to tell you guys what was going to happen, and you didn't. You listened, but you laughed.
What about Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers is coming back.
We knew he was going to come back. We knew he was going to come back.
Here's the good news, though. Aaron Rodgers can't ruin the Lions season if the Lions ruin their own season. Pointing head meme.
You know how they could ruin it then? And this is another pointing head meme. You can ruin their season if they're in the tank by letting them win.
No?
Okay.
No, are the Lions going to make the playoffs?
No, absolutely not. And I will play this back as like a super cut of like every time we doubt if the Lions do, but absolutely not. They are not making the playoffs.
Jeremy?
2020, they've got it clinched already.
What? It's a Ryan move. You can't do that. All right, let's take a break. We're coming back. We've hit a milestone. Bad day for the Lions, good day for PODcast, and Mailbag is coming up. Mail time, hashtag AskPOD, and it finally happened. We finally hit 100 reviews. Pop the champagne? No? Thank you. I don't even know if that was recorded.
All I can think of is Chris Berman celebrating whenever the last undefeated team loses and talking about the Dolphins. Nice. Don Shula!
Yeah, Don Shula's absolutely popping champagne. It is retirement home. He's doing that. You're absolutely
probably
right,
not allowed to drink anymore.
No. Okay. I did have the one Stitcher review. I'm going to read that, and then I'll let Jeremy read the iTunes reviews who got here. So a little extra time for reviews because, as I said earlier, I've got problems with our mailbag right now. This is from Breadvig09. And again, this was 6 months ago. This is on Stitcher. This is our last Stitcher review. Great show. I've been listening to this podcast for over a year now, and I really enjoy the podcast for so many reasons. A, grateful and thoughtful Lions conversations with fun twists here and there, which is hilarious to listen to. I apologize, Breadvig. This hasn't really been that fun today. B, great taste of music by you guys. Limp Bizkit rocks. I'm hoping that's one of those fun twists you're talking about. C, funny list casts. Oh, shit. I need to get that... We have one coming down the pike. I'll try to release it later this week. 4. Okay, we're on 4 instead of D now. I thought about giving you 4 stars because of all the wrestling talk, but I'll survive knowing that Jeremy is on my side. So he's the reason why this podcast stays at 5 stars. Hashtag yes! Keep out wrestling. To sum it all up, I'm a huge fan of yours, and I'm going to listen to your podcast to the day I die. Keep up the good work, and if you come to Denmark at one point, text me on Facebook, and then we can discuss some more Lions or Limp Bizkit or whatever you may like. I'd like to see our European Lions growing. I like it.
Yeah.
All right, Jeremy, what are our iTunes reviews?
Do you want me to read 2? I've got 2.
Yes, read 2.
Okay, our first is from Mansur. He gives us 5 stars. The subject line is just the word no. And the entire review reads, wrestling is for dweebs.
All right, Mansur. You got to out yourself like that. You're in the mailbag, too. So
Yeah. Hey, you know, I you know what? I almost don't feel like that should count just because that's what that is. But you know what? I believe we set the bet at just one more review. It's just that Mansur tipped us over so that one review happens to be the 100th. So who is our lucky 100th review?
Our 100th review, and actually one of our best reviews I think we've ever gotten. It's a very genuine, heartfelt one from Tara Branford. It reads, a Lions football lifeline, 5 stars. To my good, good football boys, I'm so thankful for the genuine enthusiasm slash rage that you three provide on a weekly basis. I started watching football every week last year after Colin Kaepernick took a knee. It was a revelatory moment about how everyone involved with sports has the opportunity to use their voice for a positive change. I love that you don't censor your opinion. I love that you don't censor yourselves or opinions. I should mention that no one else in my life, husband included, is a football fan except for a few cousins and two of my girlfriends. For football sustenance, if the Lions game is the entree, then First Bite is the appetizer and the podcast is dessert. Even when you're salty. Your podcast is a joy. Keep doing what you're doing.
I want some salted caramel now.
Yeah, I could really go for a salty, sweet dessert right now. Thanks for the review, though. That was wonderful.
Was great.
That's something I'm going to have to show my mom when she's like, what are you doing with your life? Like, somebody likes me.
I should show that to people in the media center who are like, why do you do sports journalism? I'm like, yeah, it's what it is.
But shout out to Tara Branford. If you have something that you want us to plug, send me an email, prideofdetroitjeremy@gmail.com. Next week, we'll shout something out for you since you were our 100th review, and it was a damn good one.
Cool. All right. Let's get to the mailbag, and I have to dig through a lot because do we have to say it earlier in the show? Do we need to say it? Jeremy, I feel like this is on you. I'm gonna shift it and blame you now because we need to just impress upon the people on Twitter more that just no, you know what we're going to talk about. You know exactly what we're going to talk about on this podcast about how bad a game was. So why fill our mailbag with a bunch of shit about like why are the Lions so bad or can we fire Caldwell or what? I'm going to try to read some of these. But holy God, I don't know what to do here. I really don't. I know what to do here. Troy Kilgore. Which hot sauce is better, Frank's, Red Hot, or Sriracha?
Oh, wow. This is a really good question. Why has this never been asked before? Good job, Troy.
You know what it is? I'm going to give an answer, I think, to Troy straight up, because I believe, Troy, you've been giving us some good questions. You deserve as much as a yes-no answer from me on this one. But I will say there are certain foods you want to use Frank's for, and there's certain foods you want to use Sriracha for, and they're not always necessarily the same. It's kind of I would say if you're going to put up Frank's against anything, it's maybe Tabasco, but even then I use Tabasco for different things. Knowing how to use your hot sauces. The answer is Sriracha. I'm assuming we're talking like Hoi Fong Foods Sriracha with the rooster on it.
Probably. Jeremy, do you have an answer to this question? Do you like hot sauce?
I love hot sauce, but I'm very not brand loyal. I grab with whatever's in front of me and whatever's on sale at the grocery store when I'm buying hot sauce.
Weren't you buying those Tapatio? I can't say it. The Doritos.
Tapatio Doritos are legit, and I think they're kind of regional to Los Angeles. So if you don't have them in your local 7-Elevens, go ahead and find them if you can.
But they are
so much better than.
You can get Tapatio
Hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
Flaming Hot Cheetos is child's play. Find yourself some Tapatio Doritos.
What's your answer here, Ryan?
I agree with your stance, Chris, that you use these things at different junctions in your eatering.
I'm not gonna put Frank's Red Hot on like leftover Chinese, but with Sriracha, really good. Likewise, I'm probably not putting Sriracha on my eggs, but I will put Frank's Red Hot on my eggs.
Yeah, so like it's really a flavor profile thing, and it has to match the kind of food that you're adding it to. I totally agree, but like I think my favorite is Frank's, just because I feel like I put Frank's on more stuff than I do like Sriracha or anything like that, because I think I eat more foods that lend themselves better to Frank's. So yeah, Frank's is my answer. You eat a lot of Eastern cuisine though, so that it makes sense that you like Sriracha.
Yeah, I like eating Asian food, especially Japanese, and Some Korean too, but I've noticed it's mostly Japanese. Like I took Jeremy and I, we went out for ramen during Thanksgiving weekend. And I think now you and me, Ryan, we've been talking about maybe sushi for when I come back to the Midwest.
Oh no, like we're 100% going.
Yeah. Yeah. I've razzed you enough on this particular place. So yeah. We're absolutely doing it. But yeah, no, I mean, yeah. Yeah. I do eat a lot of Asian food. I'm just trying to think of what other cuisine I do. I do eat a lot of Southern food too. I'm giving this deep thought. And I really
can't
think.
It's a good question.
Ragu sauce is the best.
Yeah. What'd you say?
Nothing.
That's what I get for not listening. Matt Gimmons. Serious question. Why does Jeremy hate wrestling when the rest of the POD crew likes it?
That is a good question.
I think if you've been listening to this podcast long enough, you know, we've been doing it for about 2.5 years now, you've come to realize that I'm the level-headed one. So there's your answer.
No, you're not. What I've come to understand is that Jeremy just only likes football. Like that's it. Like I have not seen him enjoy another sport. Maybe like he'll get down for college football. Maybe he'll watch like a hockey game now and then, but he just doesn't watch other sports.
I think hockey.
I think it chafes on him though. I think it chafes on him that there's a wide world of sports entertainment you were a fan because you talk about it in the past tense. So I'm just wondering who hurt you? Who drove you away?
I grew up. I think that's what happened. Hormones, you know.
Steve, this is ridiculous. Like, how do you use your level-headedness as an excuse as to how you move past enjoying wrestling? Like, what you're too. Whatever.
I mean, I get it if you don't enjoy it, and then like that's the thing. You just shrug and say I don't enjoy it, but it's been a militant thing with Jeremy.
If you want my honest take on it. The physical aspect of wrestling has never been of that much interest to me. I realize that it takes a lot of skill and it is real in that sense. And I outgrew the storylines.
You know
that's a good answer though.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer. And it makes me feel like I should make Jeremy watch though, Ryan, the Kenny Omega Okada match, the 6-star match, just to see if like that'll get him back. But other than that, like that's a good answer and I will take it.
Thank you for doing that, Jeremy. You're finally welcome. Have an answer now.
Yeah,
we
100
never have to talk about wrestling again.
100 reviews later and threats every week, we finally got to, I think, the core of it. The main man, can we switch up the Lions theme song from Africa to Sound of Silence?
You know what I want? I want someone, you know how when Fox goes to commercials after an injury, they play like the forlorn version of their NFL theme, like do 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 do.
Oh, and there's fucking a million versions of that now. They've got 3 different college theme versions of it, which sucks. They play it during the World Series now. Like it's everywhere. There's gonna be Christmas jingles.
I want someone to make that like sad version of Africa, just like a single piano played at like 50% speed of the actual song. And then we just play that after losses.
What we should play is Mr. Brightside, because that song is just fucking punishment.
Wait, the ELO song?
Mr. Brightside, yeah, fuck that song.
How dare you? ELO is a...
Dude, fuck that song. Holy shit, what are you talking about? That song has, like, won't, like, that song is the reason why I cannot front with the United Kingdom. Because they still really enjoy it.
You try to paint me as the pessimistic guy, but you can't enjoy a very fun, upgoing song like Mr. Brightside.
Wait, it's fun?
Yeah.
Like, no, the lyrics are not fun.
As long as the song never becomes Wonderwall by Oasis, I have zero problem with whatever song.
I feel like Mr. Brightside is there, but maybe not as much in America, but across the pond, absolutely.
The Killers.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of a difference. Mr. What is that? I don't know. Whatever. Mr. Blue Sky is what I'm thinking of.
Wow, you completely derail this mailbag. Okay, what is your opinion on the Killers, Mr. Brightside?
I don't like the Killers.
Coming out of my cage and I'm doing just no. Okay, next question. Andrew Duvall, what team should I root for now that the season is over?
Saints.
Oh, God.
The Saints. I love the Saints. Yeah, the Saints are so much fun. Alvin Kamara might be my favorite player in the NFL.
I'm all for the Rams.
Oh, God. There's not a team that I like.
Did you see Alec Ogletree got hurt doing a front flip into the end zone?
Oh, no. Really?
Yes. He landed on his elbow and got hurt.
Can we say team that we're not fans of right now?
The Philadelphia Eagles. I hope their season dies a horrible death in flames and everything else. Right now, there's a graphic on NBC showing Carson Wentz and how much he looks like Prince Harry, and that makes me hate the Eagles even more.
Oh, God. Yeah, if you want me to hate something, just compare it to the fucking royal family. Should we say why we don't like the Eagles, or are we just going to let that one simmer?
Because their fans suck.
Ryan's been on, how many days is it now you've been fighting off Eagles Twitter?
Too many. and it's only been like a little over 24 hours.
Jesus.
Oh, hey.
And it's mostly surrounding the fact that they think that Alshon Jeffrey is like so much better than Marvin Jones, right? That's this stemmed from.
Well, clearly, Jeremy. Like Alshon Jeffrey's leadership skills, which everybody in Philadelphia has clearly gotten a gauge on through 13 weeks. It's pretty clear. Okay. Also, update, and I know this is never live and this is one of Chris's favorite things that we do, but we're almost to halftime and Alshon Jeffrey has no catches for no yards. So.
Well, we're going to sign off from this and that's just going to look amazing. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how these things work.
There was a question that you brought up Alvin Kamara, and I wanted to address this question. They didn't use a hashtag, so I shouldn't be answering their question, but I will anyways.
What a nice
they asked,
guy.
Why can't the Lions find diamond in the roughs like Alvin Kamara when they're drafting? And he brings up, he knows Theo Riddick was a sixth round pick. But I have a very specific answer to that. And it's, Alvin Kamara is Alvin Kamara because he's on the Saints. That's it. Like, that team makes running backs look, they're like the Broncos back in the early or in the late 90s in a completely different way, but they make athletic running backs look like the greatest players in the league. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Alvin Kamara. He's phenomenal. He's fast. He breaks tackles, but he is the perfect athlete in a perfect position for him in New Orleans. And the reason the Lions can't get an Alvin Kamara is because if they get one, they'll never find out if it was an Alvin Kamara type, because they have such a shitty offensive line, such a shitty running game, such, let's face it, a shitty offensive coordinator right now, that no Alvin Kamara will reach their potential on the Lions the way they're built right now.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Real quick, I want to say, look at Kareem Hunt. The Chiefs were 5-0. Yeah. They were the toast of the town. They were the best team in the NFL. They knocked off the mighty Patriots, who were supposed to go undefeated. Kareem Hunt looked like a world beater. Do you know who has more rushing touchdowns than Kareem Hunt this season? Blake Bortles. Okay. So,
do you realize there are three teams right now all tied for the AFC West?
At 6-6.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't even know where the tiebreakers are, and I don't really care. That division is... We talked about the division being so fucking great with the Raiders and the Chiefs, and it is just a pile of shit. And the Chargers are probably going to win it.
Go, Chargers, go.
I'm going to be so upset if two LA teams make it to the playoffs. I hate LA sports. I hate it so much.
The only thing I want other than two LA teams in the playoffs is somehow if they can somehow do something weird and somehow they have to play a playoff game in that stupid fucking soccer stadium. That they can't even sell out.
I hope the Chargers host a playoff game.
They have to tarp off sections of StubHub Center.
That place will have more Lions fans just desperate to see a playoff game than Chargers fans.
Yeah, POD meetup in Carson. Let's go. All right. I need to find, and now once again, we're at that time of the night where I'm trying to find a question that is just not absolutely going to drive me insane. Oh, here we go. Mansur, hey, we saw you there with your little shtick.
Excellent review.
Yep. Ryan, what's your favorite type of bird? This is also a question for Ryan. No one else is allowed to answer or I'm contacting the police. A, snitch. B, Ryan, answer first.
I think my favorite bird is the chestnut-backed chickadee.
Okay, where is this coming from?
Oh. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing. It's a small bird. It's found in the Pacific Northwest in Western Canada. And also in Southwestern California.
Quag Sport. Do you regret drafting Lonzo? What is this about?
Is he asking? Oh, he's asking me this.
I think so.
Yeah, I participated in a mock draft. It was more like a mock off season over at Bad Boys, Detroit Bad Boys, the SB Nation blog for the Pistons. I participated in their off season like mock, and I took over the Lakers. Yeah, I took over the Lakers and I drafted Lonzo, and they would eventually draft Lonzo too, but no, because I pretty much already forgot about it. I hate how people already, and let me tie this back to the Lions. People are already so down on Lonzo Ball that they're like labeling him a bust, and that's just like Jared Davis territory.
Except yeah. Jared Davis has had three quarters of a season already.
Yeah, but like Lonzo Ball has played he's played about a quarter of a season. So, I mean, people are being even quicker to rush to judgment to label Lonzo a bust than Davis.
I think part of that is people just want to see LeVar go away. Got news for you, he's not going away. And Lonzo's probably going to be just fine. And now the rest of the mailbag to take us out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
No, let's do this.
Zamo VTX, there are no words. Michael Brown, knowing the progression of can't coach Caldwell next week in Tampa, will they give up a touchdown with 8 men on the field? Mark Urban, what will the circumstances have to be for Caldwell to get fired? Mr. Digital, let's make this hashtag go viral. No, fuck you. Bob Quinn at fake Bob Quinn. How much leeway are we giving Bob Quinn? Oh my God, shut the fuck up. Ted Lott, ask POD. I stepped away from the tweeter to have dinner with my family. Does hashtag Caldwell still have a job? Why did you hashtag Caldwell's name? This is not Instagram. You do not need to hashtag a person's name. We see it just fine without the hashtag. Why are you hashtagging this?
I think you step up your fucking
mailbag game.
I think he probably did it in an effort to see whether or not Jim Caldwell searches his own name on Twitter.
In a hashtag? In just specifically in a hashtag, but not like just manually his name.
Right. No, but that's probably Jim Caldwell's understanding of Twitter, that if you want to look for something, you have to hashtag key it. So,
Big Storm 73, what has any of the current coaches done to keep their job next season? Dude, these are all things you know we are going to talk about earlier in the goddamn podcast.
Can
we finish?
Alden Tonkay, if the Lions win out, do you think they will get in the playoffs?
Yeah, probably. But they won't.
We should probably talk about this because, look, next week the Lions are going to have their first 100-yard rusher. It's going to be Eric Ebron. They're going to make a position change. He's played so well since the trade deadline that I think they're going to make him the lead running back. Nick Ballor will take over at tight end because of his ability to catch touchdown passes, which Eric Ebron can't do. So,
and you know
I
what?
I just fixed the Lions offense, folks, and they're going to the playoffs.
I know. I'm
going
to fix it a little more for you. You know what? Stafford, He was Nick Bledsoe. He was Drew Bledsoe. I almost called him Nick Bledsoe. Damn it. God, that take away my role of trying to put Jake Rudock at the starting back.
Honestly, I don't care. It's Kaya time.
It's Kaya. We don't have Kaya anymore.
Yes, we do.
We got him again.
Squad. What?
Yeah, he's on the practice squad, baby.
Oh, practice squad. Okay.
Can we finish on this one last question, because it brings up something that we didn't talk about at all today and at least deserves to be addressed.
I don't want to address anything seriously, but go ahead.
John Whitaker, I'm going to say friend of the show now.
Yeah.
Asks, obviously we didn't execute today. Definitely not according to plan. Should have been easy. Couldn't finish the job despite some explosive moments. I wonder if we'll fire a coordinator soon as the result. What are your thoughts? Who's to blame for the failed Silverdome demolition?
Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit PODcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Ryan Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I Am Brian Shepherd. IamBrianSHEPARD. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I Am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Starside.